From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Sorry to spoil the surprise, but if you're on my holiday shopping list, you're getting a cookbook. Besides gardening, home cooking is one of the only things in this increasingly dizzy world that I feel as if I can control, and I'm soothed and sustained in trying new flavors and expanding my repertory with the help of cookbooks. I asked cookbook author and former restaurant sous chef Alexandra Stafford to visit me again today to help guide us. Ali's first cookbook, Bread, Toast, Crumbs, was published this year. Besides also creating her own recipe-filled website, Alexandra's Kitchen, which is at alexandracooks.com, she's a weekly columnist on weeknight dinners for food52.com, where part of the way she serves up such a diversity of fresh ideas is to constantly survey the culinary world in books and online. So welcome back, Ali. I hope you have lots of suggestions.
Thank you so much for having me.
I counted
before we spoke, and I think I have up to 500 cookbooks, which is maybe too many. But
so you own 500 cookbooks?
Yes.
Oh dear! Confessions of Ali Stafford. Okay, folks, you came to the right place. So, what was the first cookbook you owned or used or whatever? What's your sort of first cookbook memory?
Well, one that my mother gave me right after I, graduated college and was on my own. And those include Chez Panisse Vegetables, Joy of Cooking, the Mark Bittman, How to Cook Everything. I think she gave me a grilling book because in my first apartment, I had a little backyard patio with a grill.
Oh, that's sweet.
But those are the ones that come to mind initially.
You know, my father, well, you don't know, but my father worked at the New York Times, and one of his colleagues was Craig Claiborne. So two cookbooks that we had in our pantry where the cookbooks were kept were the two volumes of the New York Times cookbook.
Yes, I have the blue.
Yeah, you have the blue one?
Yeah. I have the blue one, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And that was another one that was in my first library.
Yeah, so that's one that I have like a strong memory. And funny thing is, I can also remember on the shelf above that, I mean, I have such a, this is a long time ago, and I can also see a copy of this giant leather-bound dark brown book. I mean, giant, like bigger than a dictionary. And it was La Russe Gastronomique or whatever.
I have that too. It's not something I really cook from, though.
No.
There are many recipes in it. Yeah, there are many recipes in it, but it's such a great reference when you're trying to, think of, especially sort of for the older recipes, if you're kind of trying to find the origin of it or its roots. It's nice to have.
So those are where we began. Those are our earliest memories of cookbooks, both of us. So are there ones today that you sort of consider Bibles? I mean, maybe some of the ones you just mentioned or not, that have sort of the most besmirched pages that are marked with like oily thumbprints or splatters or whatever, pancake batter.
Yes, I have a few. And one is another one that my mom gave me. It's Sally Schneider's A New Way to Cook. And it's this huge book. And that was really one of the first books that I really, really started cooking from. And I still turn to it when I'm looking for something, or even if I don't necessarily want to make the entire recipe. Sally Schneider is very precise, down to a teaspoon of this and half, a quarter teaspoon of that. But she'll have, and I forget which recipe it's in, but she has, it's some sort of elaborate chicken recipe, but in that recipe is this recipe for roasting mushrooms. And it's my favorite way to roast mushrooms. And I always, turn to this other recipe for this sort of sub-recipe within it. And there are a number of recipes in the book that are like that. So that's one. And Chez Panisse Vegetables is another one that I'm always, every season, especially because I have a CSA and I'm constantly,
right.
I have all these vegetables and I just need some sort of inspiration for, that's another one. Deborah Madison's Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone is another one that I turn to a lot.
Yes, and that's one of her newer, it's sort of the update to, it's the new vegetarian cooking for everyone, right?
Yes, exactly. The new vegetarian cooking for everyone, yes.
Right.
It feels like an encyclopedia. It's just got everything.
So you mentioned an encyclopedic one that, like, if I can't remember what degree of doneness, which number of minutes of boiling an egg is, if I'm having one of those, you know, moments of confusion, or if I can't remember whether it's the basmati rice or the brown rice or the sticky rice that takes 1.5 or 1 1/3 or 2 cups of water per rice, cup of rice, you know what I mean? Like those types of things, I go to Bittman's How to Cook Everything, right? And I've given a lot of people that book, you know.
Yes. Right. It's so, I feel everybody needs sort of one of those books on hand that they can just quickly reference. Yeah.
Yeah. And it used to probably be The Joy of Cooking, but I feel like that one's the one I use more for that now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other sort of, you know, ones you go to again and again, Bible-ish ones?
I'm trying to think. I there are ones that I turn to for inspiration. So the Canal House, do you know the Canal House ladies?
Yes.
Yes, I love them. They have this great daily email. Actually, I'm not sure if I'm still getting it, but they just take a picture of their lunch and then they write just a couple sentences. And I just love their style of cooking. And their Canal House Cooks Every Day book is one I turn to often for inspiration, not necessarily that I'm going to make the recipe, but it's organized by season. So whatever season I'm in, I just kind of flip through and try to, you know, sort of whatever they're cooking is kind of what I want to be cooking. So it's a good.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
That's one I don't have. So I don't have the book. I knew about the newsletter, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there some books like that you wouldn't part with, but you don't? Because I have some like this, so it's a loaded question. that I wouldn't part with them, but I don't literally go in there and like necessarily get the recipes all the time and cook from them a lot. They're not my Bible, so to speak, but I wouldn't part with them. Like, so here's one example for me. One is I have this sentimental attachment to this book called Great Food Without Fuss.
Uh-huh.
And it's from Frances McCullough and Barbara Witt, I think. And it was like this collection of recipes. Do you know this book?
No, I don't know it.
Well, I'm going to end up making you buy more than 500 cookbooks.
Yeah.
So it's a collection of recipes from great cooks. So it's like a recipe from Julia Child and from James Beard and Craig Claiborne and Alice Waters and whatever. And it was published in, I think, it was the early 90s, and it won the Beard Award that year.
Nice.
And it's probably not in print, and you'd have to get a used copy, you know, on Amazon or whatever. But it's the kind of thing that if you want, like, James Beard's cream biscuits or Craig Claiborne's signature whatever, or they're in there. And so that's one that I might not be using that every day, but it's like I know it's got those classics in it.
Right, sure. You know, one of those books, though, I definitely wouldn't part with it because it's so fabulous, is the Zuni Cafe cookbook. I absolutely just love the book so much, for not only for reading the sort of stories and the introduction about when Judy Rogers was in France, but some of her style of cooking. I love her famous recipe is the roast chicken and bread salad that has sort of made its way around the web, but it takes like 3 days to make if you salt. Yeah. But she was one of the first people I think who talked about salting ahead of time. So salting chicken days ahead of time, or if she wasn't the first, she was, you know, sort of, you know, the one to popularize it.
Uh-huh.
So how that can be beneficial even to vegetables. And so if you make this bread salad and you salt the chicken, you know, 3 days ahead of time, and then it's just a very detailed recipe that goes on and on, but it's when you make it, it just feels like a masterpiece. And she just has, there's just so many other little gems in there. It was that book that taught me to fry eggs and breadcrumbs and finish it with a little bit of vinegar, and it's just the most delicious, you know, sort of dinner for one meal. I love it.
Do you have others that you like find inspiration in, but you maybe don't cook all the recipes all the time?
Yeah, I would say probably the Ottolenghi series might be that for me. I love flipping through those books so much, and I always find something, but often the recipe list will feel a little bit overwhelming or unusual, which is part of the appeal, because I wouldn't necessarily think to pair the ingredients, but in the end it will work. But I love there, especially Plenty and Plenty More are all vegetables. So again, just having, you know, inspiration when you're overloaded with, you know, sweet potatoes or cabbage or kohlrabi, their beets, their things, their recipes in all of those books that can kind of, you know, maybe spark something.
I love his books, and those are other ones that I've given to many people. But similarly, I kind of look at them and I think this is the flavors I'm interested in more than, oh, I'm going to do every single thing in here. Some of them are a little bit, yeah.
Right. And they can be, they can be pared down. And, you know, if you don't include all of the ingredients or just all of the steps, like for instance, one of his recipes, and I forget which book it's from, but it's for a farro risotto. And somebody had suggested this recipe to me, but it called for a sort of two different kinds of canned tomatoes. Like one was chopped and one was pureed. And then you had to marinate the feta and then stir it in at the end. And it's like, just, you don't need to marinate the feta. Just throw it in at the end and it's delicious, you know, and just use one kind of tomatoes. And it's still, you know, it turns out beautifully. And, you know, you basically follow the recipe.
Right.
So you get the,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that many, well, you mentioned a few, especially fastidious recipe writers, someone, I can't remember who you said, that they have, you know, a lot of detail and whatever. But I think a lot of cookbook authors know that the people who get the books are going to use it as a guide, not know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think some people really appreciate the precision, and I actually do appreciate the precision. I think it's really nice, and then especially when you're baking something for the first time, and then once you get the hang of it, you know, you can just eye the amount of oil or the pepper or whatever,
right,
you know, ingredient. Yeah.
Right. So I thought it would be kind of fun to go. So we've kind of talked about some of our earliest books, some of our, like, Bible-like, you know, and some of our inspiration kind of books, books we probably wouldn't give up no matter what. And then there, and we may turn to a lot for various reasons. And then there are sort of niche, more niche-y kind of books. And I thought we could kind of go through some, if I throw out a subject and we see what you think. Like, for instance, when we spoke last, you recommended, and I think you had done it on Food 52 in your column there, you mentioned a curried lentil dish with, like, coconut milk and ginger and
yes.
so forth. That was really delicious, and I made it the other night for a friend for
dinner.
Oh,
nice.
Thank you very
much. Oh, great. Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
So that worked out well. And this is a flavor. This is a type of cooking. So let's say South Asian or Indian or whatever. I'm not confident in that type of cooking. So, like, if I wanted to experiment more with those flavors, what cookbook, and I wanted to give a gift or I wanted to be given a gift, hint, hint, what would it be?
Well, I think Madhur Jaffrey is probably the sort of, and I am not, I have to confess, very confident in this with Indian cooking as well, but I have her Indian cooking book, and I've used it a couple times. One was for some sort of green bee recipe, and you made a almost like a puree of ginger and garlic and these other spices, and it was really delicious, and I loved it. And I love that she has a sort of a pretty extensive sort of pantry section and explains the various spices and where you can get them and what they are, because I think for Indian cooking, if you really want to get into it, you probably should start with, you know, stocking your pantry with the right ingredients.
Yes.
So I think she would be a great resource. And I know she has a sort of a quicker and easier sort of, you know, book that I would love to check out.
Yeah. So, she's wonderful. She lives not far from me. And
nice.
I've heard her speak and read from her most recent book.
And, oh, great.
Yeah. And she is. So that's kind of where I look, and then I get a little nervous, you know, because I'm not sure exactly how all the, you know, what all the different flavors are and so forth, but whatever.
Right.
But I think that's a good suggestion. What about something maybe more familiar and that more people cook regularly, Italian flavors? Like, do you have some favorites in Italian cooking cookbooks?
I do. I have you say Marcella has on. I always want to say Marcella. Yeah. Her essentials of classic Italian cooking is it's such a great resource, and that's where her famous 3-ingredient tomato sauce recipe that people love. I think it's in that book. I don't know. I first discovered it from the internet, so I'm not sure if it's actually in that book or not, but I think it is.
But that's a great book for people who love that cuisine. I think that's
And her writing is great, and I think her husband helped a lot with when she was alive. I think her husband helped a lot with the writing, and it's a nice read as well as the recipes. There's a white bean soup in there that I in the dead of winter I make all the time.
And did you know that Rancho Gordo, the bean purveyor out west, that he named a bean for her, Marcella beans, and that soup?
Yes.
And I bought all the people that I know who make that soup, who love that recipe as you do. I've bought them those beans and sent them to them because, you know what I mean? It just, when I saw that, I was just so touched by it.
Yes, I know. What a nice gift. The beans, the book. Yes,
Good. Any other quick Italian ones?
I had Mario Batali's Molto Italiano. It was for a period of time. It also was just a great resource. Just to kind of get a sense of the flavors that are put together that I wouldn't necessarily, now it seems sort of obvious, baked stuffed figs with prosciutto and, combinations that you are sort of second nature now, but when I was first cooking a lot, I referred to that a lot, and it's a big book. It has a ton of recipes and a ton of great ideas.
So I'll pick up the pace and ask you for a favorite cookie book. What if people want to, either for the holidays or to give as a holiday gift, make cookies?
I love Dory's Cookies. I have to say I have not made as many cookies as I would have liked, but that is also sort of a textbook. It's huge, but it's really fun. The photos are really fun. They're kind of retro, really bright, not at all like sort of the kind of matte photos you see in most cookbooks today. It's fun.
So Dory Greenspan.
Yes. Sorry. Dory Greenspan.
No, that's okay. We call her Dory. Right. Perfect.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Easy dinners. What about cookbooks that are easy dinners?
Well, for a while, I really loved the whole Moosewood series. I have Moosewood Simple Suppers. That one, it taught me how to, I never thought about baking tofu, and I tried it and it was delicious. And there was another one in there. It's like a sauce niçoise. So just a simple tomatoes, olive, capers. It takes 5 minutes to throw together, and you can put it on anything, grilled fish, tofu, steak, really anything. Another good one for quick and easy is the Skinny Taste series.
Uh-huh.
I don't have her first book, but I have her Fast and Slow book, which has slow cooker recipes as well as just sort of faster recipes. But they're simple. They work. The name you would think that they would all be diet recipes, but I don't think there's a single tofu recipe in the book, and she'll use chicken thighs because she likes the flavor. So there's some really good ideas in that book as well.
So vegetarian, I've been a vegetarian since like 40 years. I love Anna Thomas's book, her original book, the 1972 Vegetarian Epicure, which has sold over a million copies.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That is really amazing.
I think we both love Deborah Madison and Heidi Swanson of the 101 Cookbooks world. So I can't say enough about any of those three people.
No, absolutely. And thank you. I am loving Love Soup, which you recommended
the last time we spoke.
It is excellent.
So I'll skip quickly to soup, and we both love Love Soup by Anna Thomas. I think Rebecca Katz's recent book called Clean Soups is a keeper too, which is a little bit different. It has these foundational broth recipes.
Oh, interesting.
Including her very internet viral sort of magic mineral broth. And then you build them into the different soups in the book.
Oh, I
and
love that
it's
idea.
It's very health-oriented, but you wouldn't think it's not dreary health-oriented.
Sure.
It's delicious. And
nice. Speaking
of something good for a CSA shareholder. So what about if I want to bake a pie?
So I, I think there are a number of books, but David Leibovitz's Room for Dessert has a, there's a apple galette recipe in there, and that pastry I use for everything now. I've just, every so often I try another recipe, and I just love his recipe so much, and I think part of it is just, there's a little bit of sugar in it, so it's just a little bit sweet, but it's really buttery. It's, and his galette recipe overall, but that has, you make a frangipane, and then you can put any kind of fruit you want, but the frangipane, which is like an almond cream, it's almonds and butter and eggs. It's delicious with the fruit, and that I never get sick of that combination.
So a couple of quick baking in general sort of books, for because baking books are a great gift.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been out for a year now. The Vanilla Bean Baking Book. It's Sarah Keeper. She has this great blog called the Vanilla Bean Blog, and if you read the New York Times food section, her chocolate chip cookies were just featured, and it's, she has this unusual method of basically I made them very recently, and they were as good as everybody has said, but you bake the cookies, and halfway through, after 10 minutes or so, you lift up the pan and you drop it, and so they kind of flatten, and it just creates this ripple effect in the cookies, and they're really fun. But even beyond that cookie recipe, she's very, very precise. She, down to the, like, the recipe says it's going to make 10 cookies, and it makes 10 cookies, but she also says freeze the cookies for 10 minutes, then transfer them to a aluminum foil lined baking pan, dull side up. And so she's very precise. You know the recipes are well tested. So that's been fun recently.
I would add to that one Nick Malgieri's How to Bake, which was another Beard Award winner in the 1990s. I think 1995.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic, best pizza crust. And of course your bread toast crumbs. Of course.
Thank you.
So in our last few minutes, let's run through some more. A quick title for your favorite sort of sciencey book, because there is the science of cooking.
Oh, sure. The Food Lab has become Kenji Lopez Alts from Serious Eats. It's really become such a great resource, more so than when I first bought it. It's not a pretty book. It feels like a high school, chemistry book, but it is so helpful. And it convinced me to buy a Thermapen, which is this fancy instant read thermometer that has become, I can't believe that I've cooked for so many years without one now.
I think for canning and preserving, people who want to look for a book about that, I love Marissa McClellan, foodinjars.com.
Yes.
I love her Naturally Sweet Food in Jars and her other books.
Yes.
So that's definitely, and if you're into fermenting, I think Sandra Katz's book is a good one.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That's a great one.
What about, real quick, a
beginner's book? Like if someone's a beginning cook, what would be a favorite?
Yeah, last Christmas I gave my brother Cal Peternell's 12 Recipes because he was the chef of Chez Panisse, and I think he's since had another book come out, but 12 Recipes he wrote for his son who was about to go off to college. And
brilliant.
And it's not just 12 recipes, it's sort of, I think, 12 kind of concepts, and you sort of, he teaches you a concept and then you can build. And I even for a non-beginner, it's very conversational, his tone, and it's nice. He has a great style, and the recipes are simple, but they're really good.
So we should have given ourselves plenty of time to put in some of the IT cookbooks of fall 2017. Deb Perelman's at Smitten Kitchen, she has a new book, Brave Tart, the Stella Parks book, Cherry Bomb, the cookbook.
Yes.
Cherry Bomb. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All of these have come out, and I haven't had a chance to spend enough time with them, but I've flipped through all of them and bookmarked recipes in all of them. They all look fantastic.
And Melissa Clark, we can't forget mentioning, because we both love her work online as well as her cookbooks. So.
Yes, I do have an Instant Pot, and I have not had success with it yet, so I'm hoping that her Instant Pot cookbook can show me the way, because I'm not there yet.
So she has a new Instant Pot book. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yes.
Well, good. That's
a
whole other category. Well, Allie Stafford, we've just run through not all 500 of your cookbooks, but some. Thank you so much for making the time. And this is like a great potential gift list, and maybe I'll just buy them all for myself.
Oh my gosh, I know. We could spend two more hours talking about this.
I'll talk to you soon again.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. Subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. You can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or facebook.com/awaytogarden. Happy gardening and cooking meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.